At Games, we welcome in our good friend John Hoven from mayorsmanor.com, who joins us from Southern California right now. John, as always, appreciate this, my friend. Your overall feel on this Kings team the last 10 games, where seems like they've had the puck a whole lot more, they haven't been outshot in that span. Does it look like the Kings are maybe returning to the type of team we're used to them being?
Certainly at home it looks like that. This is really the tale of two teams. You have the group that plays out on the road where they've struggled to win, and you have the group at home that has, you know, among the best records in the National Hockey League right now. So this little homestand that they're getting around the holiday break is going to be a good opportunity for them to try to get healthy from an offensive standpoint, and then, you know, before they go back out on the road in January.
Yeah, I wonder, like, is there anything that you've been able to put your finger on as to why this group is so much different depending on where they play?
Well, not really from that standpoint, home versus road, but the one thing, if you wanted to try to isolate what the biggest issue has been, actually there have been two big issues with the Kings. Number one, defensively. They've been arguably the best team defensively in the National Hockey League over the last couple of years, and they've slowly been chipping away at losing players there. Rob Scuderi's gone, Willie Mitchell is gone, and Slava Voynov now being out of the lineup. Those are three key guys that helped settle the pairs down, helped match things up from a righty-lefty standpoint, and having those guys out of the lineup now, I mean, just look at who they've been replaced by. Guys like Jamie McBain, and then, of course, with an injury to Robin Regier, over in the last game, now you have Jeff Schultz being called up as well. So it's just a very struggling time on the defensive side of things. And offensively, you hate to blame things on injuries, but when Marian Gaborik is out of the lineup, this is a completely different LA Kings team. He helps settle things down with the lines. He also helps get Andrei Kopitar going. And the Kings, like they have been over the last few years, are thin at left wing. So it's a real problem when Gaborik is out of the lineup.
So let's focus in on the blue line, John, and the hole that Slava Voynov leaves. I mean, obviously we know there's stuff going on from the outside that is unpleasant and all of that. But from a strictly hockey standpoint, what did the Kings lose without him in?
Well, what you lose is that righty lefty combo that I was talking about a moment ago. On that second pairing. So Drew Doughty is, of course, their number one defenseman, and he has that top pairing locked down with Jake Muzzin. On the second pairing, the Kings believe that Slava Voynov is one of the top 30 players, defensemen that is, top 30 defensemen in the National Hockey League. That says a lot when you consider they already have Drew Doughty. So to have Slava Voynov, a top 30 defenseman, in your second pairing, that's key. But the problem is that when he's out of the lineup, they try to slide Alec Martinez in, who's a fine offensive player and a good transition player, but he's also left-handed. So it creates a problem. You can't just swap out Slava Voynov for Alec Martinez in the Kings system. Mm-hmm. They rely heavily on that righty-lefty matchup. Last year, the Kings went out and picked up Braden McNabb from the Buffalo Sabres specifically to play alongside Slava Voynov. But when you move Alec Martinez into that second pairing, now the Kings are stuck. They don't really have that quote-unquote perfect player to line up there alongside Alec Martinez. So from a hockey perspective, having Voynov out, it really screws up their pairings on the second and third groups of defensemen.
Well, and it looks like Drew Doughty's being relied on even more. Not to say he hasn't been relied on a ton in the past, but only Ryan Suter's averaging more time on ice than he is per game. 29 minutes and 5 seconds is Doughty's average. So are we talking about even more responsibility on his shoulders?
Well, we are, and what that does is it slows down Doughty's ability to be involved offensively. And some people say, well, wait a minute, he's on the ice more, doesn't that increase it? No, not really, because when he's playing those minutes, you kind of have to pace yourself a little bit more. So early on, when Voynov was out of the lineup and Doughty had to be relied upon more heavily, it was kind of like an understanding that that's what needed to take place and that eventually, and they weren't sure when that was, but eventually they would ratchet those minutes back. Around 10 games or so ago, Coach Daryl Sutter was even talking about, look, we really need to scale those minutes back a little bit. You can't talk to Doughty about it. This guy is uber competitive. He would play every minute. He would never take a shift off if asked and if given the opportunity. That's just the type of player that he is. He is still a young player, so the legs are there. He's not a veteran, even though he's been in the league for quite some time. People forget he still is in his early 20s. He just came into the league so early. But you really want to ratchet those minutes back and give him an opportunity to have fresh legs and be more involved from an offensive standpoint instead of pacing himself for that 30 minutes a night. So it is a concern. They just don't have an answer right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, he seems like, even though – and the points are still pretty decent, John. Like, he's still putting up some pretty decent points. But in terms of his all-round play and the fact that he has been able – needing to focus and pace himself and all of that, how would you evaluate what we've seen from Doughty?
Well, I think that Doughty's play is just fine from a defensive standpoint. Again, you're just not seeing him jump into the play offensively as much as you did in years past. And there's been a transition in Doughty's game as well. Very early in his career, those first couple of years, he was putting up a lot more points, and then you saw him on an international stage playing with Team Canada at the Olympics in Vancouver, and everybody really thought, wow, this is going to be, you know, a coming out party. He's nominated for a Norris Trophy. And then he hasn't been nominated for Norris Trophies since then because he hasn't really put up the points, so he's not capturing the imagination of the voters that don't get an opportunity to see him very often. At the same time, what he's done is he's improved, if that's even possible, he's improved his defensive game over the last couple years as Coach Sutter has put more responsibilities on him. So, you know, like so many of the top players in L.A., whether you're talking about a Dustin Brown or an Anje Kopitar, when it comes to Drew Doughty, everybody knows, regardless of the points, regardless of what happens in the regular season, when the game is on the line, come playoff time, come postseason,
yeah,
he takes his game to a whole new level.
In conversation with our good friend John Hovind from mayorsmanor.com, Flames and the LA Kings tonight is an 8:30 start here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. They've made some line juggles of late. Jeff Carter is now playing with Marian Gabrick and Anze Kopitar. They've put to Justin Williams with Dustin Brown and Jarrett Stoll, and not necessarily the lines that we thought we'd see at the beginning of the season, and certainly not the ones that were so successful for them on the run to the Stanley Cup last year. What was the motivation for juggling things up in the forward ranks, Don?
Well, let's add one more thing to that, and we can say these are also most likely not the lines you're going to see come playoff time as well, because Jeff Carter is up there on that top line playing with Anje Kopitar and Marian Gabrick, and it goes back to what I was saying at the top of the call here, that the lines are a problem when Marian Gabrick is out of the lineup. So they weren't generating the offense. They
right.
were trying all sorts of players. You had guys like Dwight King, who is not a top-line player, playing alongside Anje Kopitar. They're just trying to juggle things around, trying to get things going, and nothing was working. Anje Kopitar was really in a horrible slump, not generating offense. Again, one of the best two-way players in the game. Defensive game might have been there, but wasn't creating offense. The Jeff Carter line, playing alongside the kids of Tyler Toffoli and Tanner Pearson, was clicking early on. It was unstoppable in the first 10 games or so. And then when things cooled off, that's when Sutter had to kind of go to the blender and mix things up again with Gabrick out of there as well. Once Gabrick came back, you were thinking that things were going to settle down, and Carter really seems to be the one that has been getting Anje Kopitar and Marian Gabrick going. So for my money, there's too much firepower on that top line right now. It's been great to see. They've generated a lot of points. Kopitar was named, you know, the NHL's first star of the week earlier this morning. But you have to, at some point, in my opinion, get Jeff Carter off that top line. You need him back at center on the second line, not only because you need two lines going, but also because one of the Kings' strengths over the last few years has been that depth down the middle,
right?
And you really need Carter playing behind Kopitar as a 1-2 punch in the tough Western Conference.
Statistically, it seems like Tanner Pearson's fallen off a little bit when it comes to his hot start, yet Toffoli sits number 2 in team scoring right now. So now, does it go a little bit deeper than statistics in that respect, or does that kind of bear out the way things have gone?
Well, it does. Tanner is falling off a little bit. You know, when you look at the hot start that he had earlier in the year, he's not generating at that level. But you also haven't seen that line that I was mentioning earlier playing
right,
much together
right.
at all of late. So Carter hasn't been there. They need a very dynamic center when you put Toffoli with Pearson. And also, Sutter's been a little bit hard on Toffoli recently. He's had him penciled in on the fourth line. He's been seeing some other time maybe on the power play and things like that, but technically he's on the fourth line right now, which is a real head-scratcher because Tyler Toffoli is one of the key offensive weapons for the LA Kings. Along with Jeff Carter, along with Marian Gabrick, Toffoli is the other true sniper they have on that team. And so at some point, like I mentioned earlier, you're going to see Toffoli slide back up the lines. And there's a very special chemistry that exists between Tanner Pearson and Tyler Toffoli. They hit it off from the very beginning when they were playing in the American Hockey League. And those guys remind me of a Richards, a Carter, a Getzlaff, a Perry. You know, so many of these pairings that we've seen, there's just a special chemistry that you can't explain between certain players in the National Hockey League. And it exists between Pearson and Toffoli. expect both those guys to see their numbers increase once they're put back together, regardless of who's at center.
Just a couple more with John Hovind from mayorsmanor.com as he joins us here on the Big Show on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Let's focus in on net, because I know that during the regular season last year, there were some question marks about Jonathan Quick. Those question marks were quickly erased come postseason time, and looks like he's picked up right where he left off. How accurate is that statement?
Well, I'll say this. People love to say that I'm a homer whenever I make this next statement. Jonathan Quick is the best goaltender in the National Hockey League. It has nothing to do with being a homer. It does have to do with the fact that being fortunate enough to be based in Los Angeles and watching this team play on a night-in and night-out basis, you do get an opportunity to really appreciate how good this guy is, how athletic he is. There isn't another goalie in the NHL that is capable of making a big save when you need it at the same level that Jonathan Quick is. Stats nerds love to point at his save percentage or his goals against average and to say, well, what about this, what about that? And they love to compare him to guys like Pecorini, guys like Henrik Lundqvist, Carey Price, and so on. But for my money, having the opportunity to watch him since he broke into the National Hockey League, there isn't a goaltender that I would rather have. Game 7, Stanley Cup Final, game on the line, he's the one to go to. Nobody is more competitive than this guy. And from a recent standpoint, yeah, his game is rounding into shape. Remember that he did miss part of training camp coming off of an injury, so a little bit of a slow start. But also remember that defense in front of him. He became very used to, very accustomed to, playing with the same group of guys. Go back to that 2012 Stanley Cup Final. The Kings played the same set of six defensemen every single night throughout the four rounds of the playoffs. So you really become comfortable with that familiarity. And he hasn't had that, as guys like Jamie McBain have been working into the system, guys like Braden McNabb, some of those names we mentioned earlier. So Quick will certainly continue to get better as the year goes on. And not to sound like a broken record, but we've seen it too often over the last 3 years. Come playoff time, there's nobody better.
Final question for you, and that's on his backup, a Calgary connection with Martin Jones. He played here in the Western Hockey League before going to work his way through the Kings system. Hasn't got a ton of starts. Obviously, Jonathan Quick's going to be the workhorse there, and that's going to be the case all year long. But in spot duty, what have we seen from Martin Jones as LA's backup?
Martin Jones is exactly as advertised. Of course, you guys know, as you mentioned, very well there from the Calgary Hitmen days, former goaltender of the year there in the junior leagues, and was signed as an unrestricted free agent, a real key pickup, like a Jake Muzzin, an unrestricted free agent, a real key pickup for Dean Lombardi, played there in the minor leagues for the Manchester Monarchs in the AHL, and this guy has emerged into definitely one of the top goaltenders that they brought through the system in the last couple of years, and that says a lot considering former first-round pick Jonathan Bernier was there as well.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, Martin Jones is the real deal. You just look at what he did last year, coming in a very difficult situation when Quick was injured, really right around this time last year, and burst onto the scene with that long shootout win that he had there in Anaheim, and Martin Jones has never really taken a step back from that. You see a lot of guys break into the league, have a big game or two or a big week or two, and then settle back to norm. You haven't seen that with Martin Jones. He's a big, tall goaltender. He does give you a different look than Jonathan Quick, but there's no doubt about it. Martin Jones will be a starting goalie in the NHL. It probably won't be in Los Angeles, like you mentioned, but this guy will have a very fruitful career in the NHL. And I think the thing that I appreciate most about Martin Jones is in talking to players from the time he came into the system all the way back in Manchester, players rave about how much they enjoy playing in front of him. So when players like playing in front of a guy, you can expect good results.
John, as always, appreciate you doing this. Thank you so much for joining us on the program today. We'll talk to you again real soon, hey?
Hey, and don't forget, we have those odds, what you think might happen, up on the site right now, mayorsmanor.com.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun. Thanks for letting me contribute. That was a lot of fun, John.
Well, thanks for joining. We'll see who's right, you or me.
We'll talk to you soon.
All right, see you. Have a good one.